thankful this morning for the opportunity to be back with you. As I remember the incident that Brother Philip related to you, I was already up and dressed before Sister Coy came to visit, so it was quite all right. There's a very familiar expression in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, that I want to spend a little time looking at this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers as I attempt to speak to you. Thinking's always a challenge. Sometimes speaking's a challenge, so we need the Lord's help. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What does it mean for God to be for us? I read an expression last evening from the 29th chapter of Ezekiel where God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Think about that. God says, I think about you. And not just do I think about you, I think toward you. And what about those thoughts? He said they're not evil. I don't think evil toward you, but I think good toward you. Now, if God thinks good toward us, does God at the same time think evil toward us? He does not. The Bible said He is of one mind. You and I, because of the indwelling sin and the fact that God has placed His Spirit within us, have a dual nature. We have a conflict within us. And the thoughts that I think one moment may be in direct conflict with the thought I have in the next moment. I may think pure thoughts, holy thoughts, thoughts of righteousness and love. But my next thought may be one of envy, and jealousy, and bitterness. And my next thought might even be hateful and hating one another. So in me, there's a conflict. Because I have two natures. And while God's nature is very great, God has but one nature. And His thoughts are not in conflict with other thoughts that God has. You and I are called by God to fight a war. But the warfare in which we are to be engaged is a warfare against those wrong thoughts. That spiritual wickedness in high places. Those ideas that we have that are evil and wrong. We're called to war against those. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all of one mind. Individually, if I can use that term, Each of them is of one mind, and as the triune Godhead, there is one mind. God the Son is in perfect agreement with God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit is in perfect agreement with the Son and with the Father. So if God be for us, God is always for us. I may be for you right now, and when you get the last spoonful of something I want for lunch, I may be against you. You understand? You might change my attitude. But God's attitude toward us is of good and of love, even when we turn against Him. His mind toward us doesn't change. And if God be for us, it is because God loves us. And if God loves us, Jesus loves us. And who can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? If God be for us, God's going to love us always and forever. Every day and forever. If God be for us, does God hide that? Can I tell whether God be for me? See, if God be for us, I can read that if God be for me, because I'm part of us. There's a lot of places in Scripture where they get a lot more personal if you'll just put me instead of us. If God be for me, who can be against me? Well, now there are a lot of folks against me. There are a lot of things in this world against me, and there are some people against me. I have a neighbor, a young man who's done quite well financially. And a few years ago, one of my landlords stuck to me and said, well, he's really making a run at me to try to buy this place. He said, I thought you probably needed to know that. So, I said, well, thanks. And he assured me it wasn't going to happen. So that fall, I met that neighbor one day. We were visiting, and he said, well, I'm kind of in a tight. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I bought a bunch of cattle thinking I was going to get some more pasture, and I didn't get it. I knew what pastor had in mind, and whose cows are there. I'm illustrating, sometimes folks are against us. And I smiled at him and I said, well, I heard you tried to run under me. He dropped his head a minute and he looked at me and he said, I didn't try to run under you, I tried to run over you. Pretty honest confession. All right? He was against me. He really wasn't concerned about my welfare right then. Now, he's not a bad fellow. I mean, except for when I have something he wants, he's okay. But he'll be against me if conditions and circumstances are just right. I know that. He proved it. God is never against me. God, because He is for me, may chastise me for my good. And God, even though He is for me, may stop me in my purpose when my purpose is contrary to His purpose. He may do that. And I may get the idea some days that God is against me. But if God is ever for me, He's never against me. Now, God may even deal with me in a way of judgment so that I feel to be afflicted. And I may be afflicted. But ultimately, God is for me, and when time is no more, there will be no power that has prevailed against me. Now, if God be for us, do you believe this morning that God sent His Son, Jesus, into this world to save you from your sin? Do you believe that He did that for you? I'm not asking you right now, do you believe that He sent His Son to die for somebody? I'm asking you, do you believe that He sent His Son into this world to die for you? Can you internalize that thought? Well, friends, if God gave His Son to die for you, He is for you. I don't think we can deny that if Jesus died for us, God is for us. That must be the case. Furthermore, if Jesus was willing to come down to this earth to be cursed, spat upon, beaten, crucified, humiliated, in order to save you from your sins, Jesus must be for you. He must be for you. And if the Spirit of God has come to this sin-cursed earth and arrested us when we were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, our minds at enmity against God, and the Spirit came to us, took up its abode in us, and caused us to love Him, the Spirit of God must be for us. Now, when your friend sticks with you when it costs him, he's really for you. When your friend will stand by you when standing by you hurts, he's really your friend. You understand? Is God a fair-weather friend to you? The Bible describes Jesus as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who's the one friend you can always talk to? Sometimes I have problems that I really don't feel comfortable to talk to my natural friends about. Sometimes I have thoughts that beset me that I'm not willing to tell you about. Sometimes I'm troubled, and I'm not willing to share that with my family. But I can always talk to Jesus. There's no secret. There's no trouble. There's no worry that we can't take to Him. And you know, God has so designed us as new creatures in Christ that when our troubles really strongly press against us, we immediately flee to Him. Our soul cries out to Him. Our spirit cries out to Him. Sometimes, before our mind thinks to do so, that spirit in us makes groanings to God. Sometimes even groanings that cannot be uttered. You can tell Jesus. He knows it anyway. If God has given us access to Him, very open access to Him, is it not the case that He's for us? I have a fellow who works for me. A couple of them met him, I think. Brother Dan Bright asked me about him last night. He's met him. I don't know if Brother Gary ever met him or not. But anyway, he has a lot of challenges, and he is a challenge for me. But I bought him a cell phone years ago, and I paid the bill on his cell phone. And I told him, now you can give that number to your wife and to, you know, your immediate family, but don't just give it to everybody in town. Just try to keep that number so I can reach you when I need you. And well, he's been carrying that cell phone now about 10 years. And I reckon everybody in our county has his number. And some days they all try to call him. And he'll look at the number and say, I don't have time to talk to you, and you put it up. I figure that when somebody he doesn't want me to hear him talking to. But he gets all those calls. They're reaching out to him. But not everybody can get through. He'll shut some folks out. He's given access to people he's for. You understand? Do you walk around downtown just passing out your phone number to everybody you meet? You don't. You give it to someone whose call you'd be willing to receive. Now, other folks get them other ways. I know that. But if God has given us an open line of communication to Him, it must be the case that He's for us. Can you sometimes go to God and feel like God heard that prayer? If He ever answers it, you know He heard it. every time, friends, that God grants you that for which you've prayed, you know God is for you, do you not? Do you sometimes come to service and you're dry and you're empty and you feel like, I just don't have any spirit about me? I know that doesn't ever bother Brother Franklin, but most of us are not always that spiritually minded. He told me one time he's so spiritually minded he's no natural good. So I know he's... But that's not my case. I get cold. I get troubled. I get to where I feel like God is far off. But I can come here in the house and some brother get up to preach the gospel and he takes a text I've heard preached 100 times. I hope this is the case because I know you all have heard this one. He gets up and he preaches up from a text that I've heard lots of times. And something down inside starts moving in me. It's not my pocketbook. It's not my cell phone. Something down inside me. Something linked directly to heaven inside me. Starts stirring and moving and I began to warm up and I began to feel that I have an interest in the things of God. And I began to feel like maybe this man's talking about what God has done for me. It starts that way. And before he's through, the maybe's gone. This man's talking about what God has done for me and in me and what he's giving me and has given me. And I know God is for me. Now, I may go a few days or a few hours. That feeling goes away. And I get back in the doldrums and I feel far removed from God again. But then I have a memory that I can go back and say, I remember how I felt that day and that hour. Brother Mark Green asked some of us recently, he said, you know, there are a few sermons and a few services that people just don't ever forget. They're about all gone now, but and I was there, but I don't remember it. But in the meeting of the Salem Association in 1952, there was an elder, J.P. Dale, who came to that meeting. He was from Dallas, Texas. He came to that meeting a stranger. They used him on Sunday morning and he preached in what folks say was a very powerful and moving way. And he got over in the Revelation and he began to peel back some of those seals. And he talked about that river that flowed from the throne of God. And there, folks, today, now you understand, that's been 66 years ago. There are folks today who are in their 80s and early 90s who sometimes remember that and say, I still know where I sat that day. And I still remember the look on his face that day. And I still remember how the congregation was stirred that day. And he preached about an hour and a half. It was short for him. But about an hour and a half following somebody else. And nobody cared. Brother Mark said, you know, we probably all had experiences like that somewhere in our life when somebody preached. And he mentioned two or three experiences of his hearing particular brethren preach. And I said, well, I probably need to tell you one after he had told two or three. And I said, this one's going to really, you know, if I tell you everything that was going on at the time, it's really going to kind of stick out in your memory too. It was at a union meeting held at a little church that's no longer there in North Little Rock, Arkansas, in November of 1975, fifth Sunday morning. My grandmother was in the hospital dying. I had been home from college to see her and had gone back by and stopped at the meeting. Never saw her again. Knew I wouldn't on this occasion. Now, I'd lived the first 2 years of my life in the house with her and never lived more than a quarter mile from her until that fall when I left home to go to college. So we were very close. That was weighing heavily on my mind. But it's also the first time I ever got to sit by my wife in a church service. All right? Now, I'd kind of been wanting to for a little while, but that time, that Sunday morning, she was there, and I was there, and she let me sit by her. And the rest is history on that deal. That's all you need to know about that. I'm telling you, there was a whole lot going on in this boy's life. Elder W.A. Garrett from Tulsa, Oklahoma, got up to preach. And he just preached fundamental doctrinal principles from things like the second chapter of Ephesians. And that came to me in such power that I got so involved in the old brother's preaching, and he was quite elderly then, that I forgot everything else that is going on, including who I was sitting by for a little while. I don't believe I'll ever forget that occasion, but for a lot of reasons. And sometimes when I get sort of blue, I can go back there and I say, I remember old Brother Garrett preaching that day and how it stirred my soul. God must be for me. I tell you, the devil didn't give you that feeling. The devil don't move you that way. He'll tell you the man's a fool. He'll tell you to watch all those silly things he does with his hands and with his feet. And notice how his grammar's not good. Notice how he repeats those same things over and over. You know, all us preachers have them. I know yours, I just don't know mine, but don't point them out to me. I get self-conscious about them. Sometimes I catch myself at something. That's what the devil will focus your mind upon. But when God stirs you to receive the message, He's for you. So if you've ever experienced the answer of prayer, God's for you. If the gospel has ever come to you in power, God is for you. And that's Scripture. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel which was preached to you came not in word only, but in much power and in assurance. So if the gospel's come to you that way, it's because God is for you. And if God be for us, the devil and all his hosts cannot prevail against us. Now, I don't care how big the enemy is, and I don't care how strong the enemy is, if I know he can't hurt me. Now, I got a good schooling this morning on a lot of fictional characters that I'm not familiar with, because my kids are all grown and gone. My grandchildren, some of them could probably have told me all that, but I usually have them doing other things when they're around the house, so I wasn't familiar with some of that new folklore. I'd never seen that pig that can fly because it has a cape, and, you know, some of those things. Some of those dudes are pretty ugly. That'd be pretty scary if you met somebody like that. I tell you, brethren, that'll all fade into nothingness someday. These folks that, you know, certain age group that really are into that today, that's going to lose its appeal someday. But that tugging at your heartstrings that comes from the work of the Spirit of God will get sweeter and sweeter as you go along. And it will be there to say to you, as long as you're upon this earth, God is for you. And if God is for you, when you close your eyes in death, He'll be right there because He's for you. And He'll be thinking thoughts of peace toward you then. And when He comes back to get the bodies of the saints, He'll be looking for you because He's for you. He's for you. Now, I told you last night I'm not much of a sports fan. But I have a grandson that's on a ball team. And I do sort of check to see how that's going once in a while. And Brother Adam Green's twins are seniors in high school this year, and they've been playing on basketball teams, a boy and a girl, and their basketball teams are both really good. They really both have a shot at winning the state tournament this year. So I've been sort of, I haven't been to any ball games over there. I did go see my grandson. But I haven't been to see Brother Adam's twins play, but I sort of been keeping up. Local television station did a little feature on them. Kind of unusual, you know, to have the star of the girls' team and the star of the boys' team, both from the same family, both seniors, but they did a little feature on them. Local newspaper wrote up a pretty nice article about them. It's been kind of a fun year for them. And I stayed up an hour late and watched the television thing. Well, I think I didn't know it was going to be on. I just was up late and saw it accidentally. But I read the article in the newspaper, and I enjoyed that. And anytime there's a little clip, I watch for those kids. And I'm all for them. But, you know, by this time next year, I may have forgotten all about all that. But God has set His love upon us, and it is eternal. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to sing to Him because He was for us. Thank God I found out He's for me. I thank God I know that the things I've experienced in this life prove God is for me. And you can't scare me today with all the evil story you can tell me about hell. I believe hell is real. I believe it's hot. I believe some folks are going there. But it doesn't worry me. It's just okay. Because God is for me. At least right now I believe He is. I believe God is for me. And I have a home in glory. And friends, if you've ever prayed to God and had your prayer answered, you've ever been stirred by the gospel, if you're able to believe that Jesus died for you, you're going to live with God in glory when this old life here is over. What a blessing. God, if He is for us, who can be against us? I thank you.